Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist Dave Barry is a proud member of the Big 5-0 Club. One more year and I'll be a member too. To prepare for the occasion, I'm reading Dave's latest book, aptly titled Dave Barry Turns 50, hoping that if I ponder his insights about the milestone ahead, everything will go smoothly for me. Miami is the place Dave calls home, and since he's had quite a few years to figure out where to live, I asked Dave to tell me why, of all places, he's chosen that part of the country.
Well, I could live anywhere in the world, and I looked all around and tried to find the one place that matched the most important requirement for me, which is that it be where the Miami Herald is located, because that's where I work. So I really don't have any choice.
How long have you lived there now?
Now, I've lived there since 1986, 12 years, which is in Miami is a long time.
And the city must have changed greatly in these 12 years.
No. Well, actually, a little. I think that when I got there, the city was at the tail end of really kind of a horrible period. There had been a crime wave. There had been riots. Time magazine had done a cover story a couple of years earlier called Paradise Lost. And then I got there, and things improved. No, I just coincidentally, while I was there, things have gotten sort of steadily better. And ironically, one of the things that made it better was Miami Vice, the TV show, which at first upset the Chamber of Commerce types because it depicted Miami as a violent, drug-ridden place, which, of course, is exactly what Miami was. But in fact, it also depicted Miami as this hip, drug-ridden, violent place where everybody wore cool outfits and drove around fast cars, and there was flashy neon everywhere and the music playing constantly in the background. And so the whole Miami Vice look captivated not just the nation but the world for a while there. At the same time, South Miami Beach started a resurgence. It was already it was getting underway, but the old Art Deco hotels up until late 70s, early 80s were pretty much either in decay or actually being knocked down. And those that were still up generally were retired people or low-income kind of cheap hotel housing. But, you know, suddenly people started seeing them as beautiful. And now that whole area has just exploded. It's this big international tourist destination.
What was the biggest surprise about Miami? What didn't you expect when you got there?
I never in my life had seen insects that big. I mean, I remember the first week or two that I was there, and I went out to the patio, and I was going to open a screen door, and just before I touched it, there was a grasshopper the size of Danny DeVito clinging to the screen, saying, "Don't you come near me." You know. Now I'm used to this. I view them as part of the environment, and it doesn't bother me. Because you have to accept, when you live in South Florida, that it's a swamp. You have to be alert for the fact that alligators could eat your dog. And the other thing to be aware of when you go to Miami is that there are toads there that can kill you. They're called Bufo marinus. They're like great big fat warty things. Like, they get huge. They weigh up to 3 pounds. They look like catcher's mitts.
Oh, come on.
And dead serious. Bufo marinus. What they do is they secrete a venom. For a while there, it was believed, in fact, it is true, I believe, that the venom is also a psychedelic substance. So there have been cases of humans licking this toad to get high and suffering severe. My feeling about that is that if you lick a toad, you deserve to die. So I don't really feel so bad for them.
Let's talk about the Cuban influence and the Spanish-speaking influence in Miami. Is it possible to live there without speaking Spanish? And do you sometimes feel like you're living in a different country from, well, where you grew up in Armonk, New York, for example?
I like it, but that's the complaint you hear. Now, let me speak any English. I mean, the truth is, you can get by fine without much Spanish or any Spanish, and I love it. I love the fact that the restaurants are so different. I mean, there's Cuban restaurants, Nicaraguan restaurants, Argentinian restaurants, Colombian restaurants, all kinds of cuisine down there that you don't get anywhere else, and it's done right. I love the fact that the people love music so much. You hear Latin music playing all the time. I mean, the Latin people tend to say, you respond to everything by saying, "Hey, let's dance, let's sing." Sort of an outgoing, happy, just spirited kind of community.
Well, you irritate writers like I am by writing so prolifically. Besides your column, you have 20 books to your credit as of this year.
Well, I want to stress a lot of these are very short books. Some of them are collections of columns, and none of them contain useful information. So when you remove the restrictions, you know what I mean? It's a lot easier.
You have 20 books. What I want to know is Miami a place that inspires you to write?
It's an amazingly literary area. I'm not really sure why that is. Weird things happen in Miami because you have this combination of all these cultures and the tropical weather and, Cuba right down there 90 miles away and the sort of international tension that creates, the drug trade and the criminal element that brought in, giant toads that can kill you if you lick them. There's just this air of weirdness in Miami, and I think it encourages fiction.
How has the city influenced your sense of humor?
It encourages it. You have to have a sense of humor to get by in Miami. We have, for example, a system of government in Miami that, as far as I can tell, is called elect a criminal. I don't even know why we bother making two different ceremonies, one swearing them in and two indicting them. We could just combine them. And the thing is, being indicted is not really a hardship in Miami. It's an actual selling point. You know, vote for so-and-so. He's been indicted. We happily reelect these people. Part of the reason we do is that the voters themselves are often dead people or criminals or non-residents.
So many people go to Miami on vacation. Where do you go when you go on vacation?
I like to go to the Western United States because it's the one kind of relentlessly unappetizing thing about Miami is how flat it is. It's, as I said earlier, it's a swamp. So you miss mountains. You get great water, you get great sky, but you get no terrain. And so I love to go to the Rockies, that part of the country. A lot of people have summer homes in the North Carolina, the Smokies, that area. Because if you think about it, we're not going to go to the beach for our vacations. We're going to go where it's different for us.
Dave Barry's latest book is called Dave Barry Turns 50. It's published by Crown. Thanks for chatting with us, Dave.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.